Not a vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. Make sure you get your copy. The game is out now. You can go see me in the game. You can play my team, my player, my career, anything you want. It's in there. And BJ Armstrong's in the game too. You can go hit some three-pointers with him, or more importantly, play some defense with him, because we know that's what he likes. BJ, how you doing, bro?
All good. I see you got the fresh cut.
Oh, had to. It was a fresh cut Friday. It's a couple of days. It's been marinating for a couple of days.
But yes, I see.
But we fresh right now. How's your weekend been? I'm surprised we're taping right now because the NFL's just kicked off a whole bunch of games.
We do have a whole bunch of games. Not my Detroit Lions. Your Detroit Lions. Our Detroit Lions play later this afternoon.
BJ, I've decided.
LA Rams.
I've decided what team I'm going to support. I've decided what team I'm going to support.
You're supporting the Lions. What do you mean? You're a Lions fan.
It's been decided for me.
It's been decided. It's no discussions. You're a Lions fan. You say, what up, Doe? We've already declared it. Every time I go home, my people say, give a shout out to Bo. You get all the love there. Okay. So you're a Lions fan.
Okay.
You
know, I was about to say New York Jets, but I guess I'm rocking with the Lions.
No,
then.
Mo.
I like those green jerseys that the Jets have, though. They look clean.
You have your one green team. Now you're coming to the Honolulu Blue. Blue. It's Honolulu Blue.
That's cool, because my Premier League team wears blue as well. So you're going to be supporting Chelsea in the Premier League. So I'll support Detroit in the NFL. How about that for a trade?
Okay, that's a good trade.
But let's talk NBA. That's why we're here. Denver star Jamal Murray has agreed to a four-year, $208 million maximum contract extension. This deal guarantees Jamal Murray $244 million over the next five seasons. Happy for Jamal. But what do you think of this deal? Because that's a lot of money that's now committed to kind of the top three guys over there in Denver, because Michael Porter Jr. got that max extension on his, and Jokic, of course, has the max extensions. And every year for the past 2 years since they won a championship, they seem to be losing depth. Have we seen them kind of peak as a team? Or, you know, with Jokic, you can't count them out, but it's going to be harder and harder for them to build this team and increase their depth moving forward, right?
Well, you know, Mo, the thing that's, again, appearing and looking from the outside, when you have a player like Jokic, now it puts you on a timeline saying, we must win now. Whether you are committed to that as a group, as a team, meaning the people in that locker room, the coach has to take on the responsibility. We have to put together a team and play now. And then the most important aspect of this is the front office have to be committed to the financial burden that comes with winning.
Yeah, because right now they stand to be $70 million over the cap next season, which is going to be an awful lot of luxury tax payments.
Okay. So now you have to commit, if you're going to have any opportunity to win now, you have to draft well, which they have, Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So you have to retain those three. Mm-hmm. Job well done. The other part that's crucial or critical to this is you must go out there and be committed to being in the luxury tax to be able to retain those players. And that is what we're discussing now.
I'm not claiming to know.
How are these owners going to pursue this period in time that Jokic is clearly the best player on this team?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one of the things they're going to say, we're committed to winning. And everybody's going to say yes. And then they're going to say, yes, let's look, we're over the salary cap right now. Mm-hmm. However, they are businessmen and women, and they want to get a return on that investment.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, let's start looking to see. I'm going to start expecting the front office and the coaches to have some level of friction.
Well, it's funny you say that, BJ, because just 3 days ago, there were rumblings that Mike Malone and the Nuggets front office were not seeing eye to eye. I'm going to read you the excerpt from Zach Lowe of ESPN. He said there are rumblings that the coaching staff and front office, or at least the head coach of the front office and the front office, aren't exactly seeing eye to eye in Denver to a degree that's unusual for the NBA. Because we know there's always friction amongst, coaches and front office on personal decisions and whatever, whatever. But apparently this is to a degree that's unusual even for the NBA because, the Nuggets let KCP go in free agency to Orlando. And the season before, they lost Jeff Green and Bruce Brown. And those are three key pieces of a championship team. Now, the Nuggets did get Russell Westbrook in and they did get Dario Saric in. However, they're relying on their young players to make a leap to fill out the depth of that roster.
Well,
And their
that makes
draft pick
total
this year
sense to
is
me.
already, what did he do? Tore his ACL or his meniscus also, and he's out for the season. So that's already, and that the player they drafted was supposed to be a big part of their bench rotation in the front court, coming in and
Yeah,
providing minutes there.
this.
So they're going to be in some serious trouble here.
Well, I don't think they're in serious trouble. I think what they're saying, again, I'm just, listen, I didn't know this, but I've seen this movie enough now to know how this really works. So here is the bottom line. The Denver Nuggets management has said the following: if we're going to be good, we're going to have to draft well, because the goal is the following. If you have any sustainability, like we've just witnessed with the Golden State Warriors, like we're currently witnessing right now with your Boston Celtics, you have to draft those players, develop those players, and then pay them to retain them. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and then you build around that. That's the only way to do it. So they've drafted well, Jokic and Jamal Murray. But you have to be willing to go into the luxury tax to retain the supporting cast that's going to be necessary, because now you're going to start having players emerge.
So
Okay. And right now, it looks as if the Denver Nuggets aren't willing, or they haven't committed to a player yet that they acquired via trade, via free agency. And they look like the only way they're willing to do that is from within, draft them and develop them. And I don't know if that fits in the current timeline. So you have two timelines going on here. You have the young players, which you mentioned, and then you have Jamal Murray and Jokic and them right now.
So let me ask you this. They traded for Aaron Gordon, who has this season and next season left on his contract before he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right.
Are they at risk of losing him as well? Because he's not someone they drafted, they traded for him, which is slightly different.
Well,
But if they lost him, then that's a huge piece of their team that they would eventually go without. Surely they are now I'm going to have to offer him an extension as well, unless they want to risk him having a contract here next year and going to free agency.
if they want to retain him, if they want to retain him, they're going to have to pay him, because he's a very valuable player. And so these are financial decisions that the front office is going to have to make. And I'm sure that's not going to sit well, because when you have a player like Jokic, you run the risk of saying, what if he suddenly says, well, this organization isn't committed to winning
I
and
want to
he
go
wants to
play
be
with my friend
traded?
Luca.
Yeah. So
Well, let
this
me read
is
this to you. The
where
Nuggets
it's
still
headed.
do have one of the best starting lineups in the NBA. Now, Jamal Murray will be their point guard. I assume that Russell Westbrook will come off the bench, so they'll put Christian Brown at the shooting guard, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and Nikola Jokic. That's a fantastic starting lineup, one of the best in the entire league. But then when we look at the bench, you have Russell Westbrook, Julian Strother, who he has shown some flashes of potential, Hunter Tyson, Peyton Watson, who again has shown some flashes of potential, Dario Saric, who has not really been working out too well in the NBA of recent years. And the depth of that bench is very, very limited. And we say every year that the depth is essential.
Is DeAndre Jordan still on that bench?
DeAndre Jordan is still there.
Yeah,
He
okay.
doesn't even play too many minutes at this stage of his career.
Okay.
So I've got no doubt that the Denver Nuggets will be knocking around at the top of the Western Conference. But what happens if one of those stars gets injured?
Well, clearly what you're seeing is a team that lost players, not because it's not a great organization, not because people don't enjoy playing for the coaching, not because they don't want to play with the best player. These are just financial decisions.
Yeah.
Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, and now you're seeing KCP. These are championship caliber players. And they're losing because of the financial commitment that it takes to retain a team in a market like Denver. Now, I don't know what their plans are. I'm not pretending to know that. However, when you start seeing these decisions, it is what it is. So maybe those young guys are ready to play. But based on what you just told me, or you just read to me and our audience, it seems as if Coach Malone doesn't think that those guys are ready to play.
Yep.
That's what it seems like.
Yep.
But I don't know that.
Have you ever seen a championship winning team go down this path? I've seen championship winning teams and then they can't retain their talent because other teams are offering them crazy amounts. You know, the players being offered crazy amounts. But I don't remember many NBA champions who say, no, we're going to pick up guys at the end of the first round or in the second round and hope that they can develop whilst they're in their championship run and whilst their best player is at the peak of his powers.
You know, Mo, I think the thing that we have to take into consideration is that there are four ways to get a player. You can draft them. You can get a player in free agency. You can trade from that player. Okay. And then the best way to improve your team or get better is you get that player and you develop them from within, right? So there's four ways. And
well, that's three ways to improve. Because the fourth way they would have had to be in through one of the first three.
You may acquire a player somehow. It's some way possible. Maybe he makes your team, right?
A way. Summer league, training camp, whatever.
So there's four ways that, you know, pick up a guy in a 10-day. Like you guys got Isaiah Thomas. You just kind of throw somebody into a trade. You didn't trade for him, but they just threw him in, right? So there's four ways. Let's just say four ways to improve your team. When you have those four ways to improve your team or to acquire players, then suddenly you have to figure out what route you're going to and that you're going to be committed to doing it. Because if this player develops into a player, how are you going to retain that player? Because the one thing most teams aren't in the business of, you're not in the business of developing a player for him to go somewhere else. That was the big news with Jalen Brunson, for instance. When you guys got Isaiah Thomas, like I didn't recall anyone saying they thought that Isaiah Thomas was going to show up and become an all-star at that particular time.
No one in the world did.
Yeah. So now this Denver Nuggets team, to answer your question, have I seen anyone do? Yes, you see it all the time, right? The reason you see it all the time is because most of the teams that win, you have a shelf life, right?
Yeah.
You have a shelf life. And you have to figure out what's the timeline for this team. That's what made the Golden State Warriors run. It was like a decade, right? They had like a 10-year run because they were all on the same timeline. Clay, Steph, and Draymond.
But I think the point I was making when I said I haven't seen this is like the Celtics won this year. They gave Jrue Holiday an extension. They gave Jaden Bradley an extension last year. They're giving Jason Tatum an extension. But they also made sure they retained Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet and all of these bench pieces and maybe guys that have a presence in the locker room. Like, I'm sure they could get the production of Luke Kornet from a bunch of other guys around the league. But maybe he's a great locker room. I don't know. I'm not inside the locker room. I don't know. They've kept that entire team. I think they only lost O'Shea Brissett and Svi Mykhailiuk. But they made sure they kept the entire roster rather than saying, oh, well, we don't want to pay Sam Hauser. We can just find another guy in the summer league that can shoot the ball like him. Do you see what I mean?
Yes. Unlike, the major market teams, Boston, LA, New York, they're, even though everyone's playing under the same salary cap, they're still not playing with the same numbers because the numbers in New York and what they can charge for a ticket is different than what they can charge in the city of Denver, for instance. which is different than the city of Oklahoma City or New Orleans or the smaller market teams.
Yeah, and the TV deals are different.
And TV deals are different.
And what's interesting about Denver, I don't know the specifics of their TV deal, but I've been told the ownership of the Denver Nuggets and the local broadcaster, the broadcast the Nuggets game. There were a couple seasons where they didn't even show the Nuggets games on the TV because they had a dispute.
So there is the, for instance, we know the new television deal that was signed by the NBA that they spread, that they share revenue. But then there's also a local component to that, that every team in their local market can operate under different things for their television deal. And we know that a ticket in Boston is different than a ticket in, let's say, Detroit.
Yeah.
Just what it is.
Yeah.
You know, a Laker front row ticket is different than, you know, let's say Orlando. Okay. But with that, those are the numbers we're not privy to. So in knowing what we know about Denver, and I don't know the particulars to that, but I do know that there was some conflict that was there. And that will come into their decision-making process of how to retain a player. So this all makes sense to me. It makes business sense to me. I don't know if it's right or wrong. However, at some point, the pressure will be, the bottom line will come down for this for Denver. What is Jokic, Mr. Jokic, what is his thought and process? And that will determine, I think, the direction the organization will go in. Because clearly, when you put good enough players around him, he will win.
Yeah.
So I think it comes down to what he says he wants, what he's comfortable doing. And then when he speaks, I think everything else will fall into place. But it's interesting to watch it from afar.
On the TV thing, so it turns out that the Kroenkes, who own the Nuggets, also own Arsenal Football Club, for anyone who follows the Premier League. I think they own Altitude Sports, who were in a legal dispute with Comcast over the rights to show the games. And that four-year lawsuit got settled in March of this year. So maybe things will start to get better for the Nuggets moving forward to the new TV deal and stuff like that. But what I will say is when you have the MVP in his prime, I understand that you might not want to pay the luxury tax and stuff. But if you don't want to pay that, sell the team.
I don't say.
This is a business, right? So if you are more focused on making the profits, then either trade him to somewhere where he can go win and then keep tanking and keep scamming fans out of money, or sell the team. Like the Celtics owners, they know they can't pay the next round of luxury tax, so they are selling the team. But before they did that, they signed everyone to ensure that they stay competing.
Teams can do it. However, Mo, there is a commitment here that you must abide by, right? It is what it is. So can they pay it? Yes, you can pay it. But there has to be a way for everyone to, there has to be a win-win, right? It can't just be all sports and we just reckless and just spend money because we want to win. And you just can't be all business and just say, we're going to discount. Well, why are we playing? That's why they call it professional sports. There has to be a balance here in what you can and can't do. Okay. We're not privy to all of the information here. And that's just a small component of it, what you just shared.
Well, and what I will also say is up until about 2-3 years ago, the fans of Arsenal, who were also owned by this same ownership group, they absolutely hated the owners of the team because they were unwilling to spend money there either. So,
I don't know. But in sitting in those meetings, as I have, and talking to these owners, as I do, there's always something going on. But you would hope, Mo, when you have an elite player like the three-time now MVP, that you just push all your chips into the middle of the table and you figure it out. That's what you would hope, because he has ascended to this level of excellence very quickly. And
you don't know how long he's going to stick around.
Exactly. But for whatever reason, there seems to be something that's going on between the coaching staff and the front office and the ownership. Okay. But when Mr. Jokic speaks, I think he resolves whatever perceived problem they have, because his voice, to me, is a key voice.
And I don't think I would be shocked if Jokic was going against what Mike Malone wants, because I remember I did an interview with Mike Malone, and this was way back when he first became the coach of the Nuggets after the Kings fired him, and he was experimenting with the lineup with Nurkic and Jokic both in the front court at the same time. So this was way before anyone knew that Jokic was going to be a star or whatnot. But the relationship between those two guys is real close. And I think he's been instrumental to the growth of Jokic's game. Obviously, Jokic has done the hard work and stuff itself, but I think they're locked in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, rule number one as a head coach, you better be connected to your best player.
So that's why he's not in Sacramento.
We are both masters of the obvious. Coach Malone is not going to say anything that goes against Jokic.
But we've seen many times, including recently, we've seen superstars of a team somewhat throw their coaches under a bus in the media and in press conferences and things to that nature. So it may be obvious, but it doesn't always happen.
You know, it happens more times than we can imagine. But Coach Malone has been around long enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around long enough. He understands the unwritten rules of this game. He's been in coaching his entire life. And for sure, those two are on the same page. That's why I think there's going to be some conflict here. And until Mr. Jokic speaks up, which he has the biggest voice, I think there's going to continue to be some conflict until it gets resolved.
Let's finish with this. Are the Nuggets your favorite to win the West this season, or which team is your favorite to come out of the Western Conference?
There's a lot of parity this year in the Western Conference. And the reason I say that is Jokic right now is clearly the best player, but they're not the best team. And you know, I say this every year, you got to have a level of depth, and they're losing their depth. They're losing key components. And Jokic will be the best player in every series. But we don't know what those other players will do, those young players that they're going to be dependent on.
They could make a leap. And then they could be the best team again.
They could, but we have to see it. We can't say that. Well, at least I'm not prepared to say that. I haven't seen it. I can only tell you what I see. Good young players, but are they championship caliber players? They haven't done it yet. So no one can say that. Clearly, Coach Malone doesn't think so. So
yeah.
I tend to side with him a little bit on this.
Yeah, what?
But I just not to say that you can't be pleasantly surprised. Okay. Maybe he surprises everyone and we'll say, wow, I didn't realize player X was better than we anticipated. But I know this. You need experienced players, you need proven players, because you have a player here that clearly, with the right pieces around him, he could win a championship and go on a 2 or 3 year run where he wins it 2 or 3 times in a row.
I expected them to go back to back last year.
Yeah. And they just didn't have the depth to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was a tremendous effort by Minnesota, right?
Game seven. The Nuggets threw away a huge lead in that game seven as well. They just ran out of gas. And you could see that impact of the lack of the depth in that one game crystal clear.
Yeah. I mean, Jokic is just, I mean, listen, he was up, 13 or 17 versus Team USA in the fourth quarter. I mean, this guy is that good.
Yeah.
So make no doubt about it. Now, you just have to commit to it, and there's a financial commitment.
Yeah, and hopefully Jamal Murray comes into shape this season as well, because he struggled a bit with that last season. He was kind of
He struggled with injuries. So, you know, and listen, when he's healthy, he's fantastic. And let's hope he gets back healthy, gets back to playing, because he's an excellent player. You know, I always like to say he's the best player that probably hasn't been named an all-star yet.
He's Jamal Murray. Yeah. Well, there's just too many good guards. There's just too many good guards right now. But let us know on social media if you think the Denver Nuggets are serious contenders, or if you think they've reached the mountaintop and now they're coming down the other side, because it's going to be tough. because they've also got to try and knock off the Boston Celtics as well. That is, you know, what scared me the most in the playoffs last year, because I had the Nuggets winning the championship, as you know. And I only started to really believe it after they got eliminated, because Jokic is just a matchup impossibility because he's too big. Like, this is why OKC went and got Isaiah Hartenstein, to have somewhat of a stronger body to be able to match up with him. But he's just a matchup nightmare in today's NBA. You know, the other day when we were talking about how you'd love to see players from previous eras play today, I'd love to see Jokic go back and play when teams were stacking up on bigs to guard the likes of Shaquille O'Neal. They'd be stacking up on bigs to guard Jokic full time, and he wouldn't be able to just bully these.
There were a lot of big guys in our era. Like, there were, you know, in our era. Jokic is clearly a great player. I think he would be a great player in any era. In any era, right? Because he knows how to play. But there were so many other great bigs that, you know, I don't know how he fits into that. When I say fits into that, what's the impact that you will have when you have to play against a Kareem, a Robert Pierce, a Patrick Ewing, a Shaquille O'Neal, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon? I don't know. When I say no, like, you know, we get excited when Joel Embiid and Jokic line up. But when you're, I mean, just think of the names I just put out here. I mean, that's every night.
Yep.
That's every night now. And then you start looking at guys, you know, other big guys. Just, you know, there was the late Earl Dawkins. There was Bill Cartwright. I mean, these are like big people. So it was just a different time in a different era. I don't know, because there were so many. But what I do know is that Shaquille O'Neal, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, those pretty good players. Do I think he can play again in that game? That's yes. Do I think he dominates those players? Maybe. From everybody gets dominated. But do I think they might dominate him sometime? Absolutely.
I need Elon Musk to stop messing around with Twitter and actually try to build a time machine so we can make these things happen.
No, that's it. Well, but again, I will say this. It's unfair for us to even have this conversation because of the difference of the way the game is. First,
oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The rules of the game. But it's fun. I know this. Jokic is, without question, tough enough, without question, skilled enough, without question. He has everything here to play and be a high caliber, all-star caliber player in that era. To what degree that you dominate, that's debatable. That's debatable, because that was a different game if you take in that era.
Yeah.
Okay. But again, if you put those players in today's era.
This is what I said. This is what I always say to people. If you put prime Shaquille O'Neal in today's NBA right now, there's about 50 guys out there in the world who are 7 foot who will get jobs just to foul Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not fair. It's a fun argument to say, because it's like a hypothetical type of argument. But without question, I want to make that clear. Jokic in any era can get
an all-time great.
He's up there. Yep. Where you got him ranked, hey, there's this different game. And there's different responsibility of that center playing in that era and today's center playing in this era.
Mm-hmm.
However, he is good enough to play in any era. And then because of the way the game is officiated, the way the game is played, the way the rules, you can debate his impact on the game.
Mm.
You can debate that, right? Because that game was played from the inside out. You know, I would love to see a big just bring the ball down and start shooting threes like Jokic. Like, I don't know if that would
have. I seen Andrew Bynum do it in 2010, and he immediately got benched. Immediately. He pulled up at the 3-point line, airballed, and got benched straight away.
It was just a different time. You know, I would have loved to have seen that to see how that would have worked
you
out.
You should go watch that Andrew Bynum highlight. It's absolutely hilarious. It's on YouTube.
I saw Andrew Bynum when he got drafted, but Milwaukee, I believe, right?
Yeah, no, this is when he was on the Lakers, but
yeah. Oh, I'm
not Andrew Bogut, Andrew Bynum.
Yeah, you're thinking of Andrew Bogut.
That's another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast. BJ, appreciate you as always. Appreciate you guys who tuned in. Make sure you subscribe. I am live on Twitch every day, twitch.tv/hoopgenius. Come in, tap in over there on the stream as well. We got a lot more coming this week. Podcast is back. And BJ and I will be back tomorrow with more. So until then, you guys know the vibe. Subscribe to the show and get buckets.